Good evening, ladies. It's my privilege and pleasure tonight to introduce you to Pastor Sharon. A little bit about Sharon. Her and her husband are the senior pastors at Nations Church in Dunedin. And Sharon has got three beautiful children, two gorgeous sons, girls, one 18, one 17, and they're gorgeous. And a beautiful daughter, Hannah. He's just 14, and a fantastic husband. He is just the greatest. So I would just like you all to welcome Sharon to our Soul Free Conference. And she is the best daughter-in-law a mother could have.
She is so biased. Well, as Nancy said, I'm Sharon. I'm married to Graham, her son. Sometimes I have rung up and asked her to take him back, but she said no. But I have. I've got three teenagers. Actually, I was going to have photos, and I planned to have them, and I forgot to put them on my pen drive, so I'll get Graham to email them so you can see. I've got a picture of a house completely under snow, just in case you wanted to just feel nice and warm. It's all melted now, though. But, yeah, that was a challenge. I'm nursing at the moment at Dunedin Hospital, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought, gosh, it's quiet. And when it's quiet in Dunedin, you really got to look out the window, and sure enough, it was snowing. And I'm thinking, I've got to go to work at 6 o'clock this morning. So I rang up work, and I said, are the four-wheel drive club all organised to pick nurses up? And they said, yes, yes, yeah, they're all organised. I said, well, we've got one. I'll see if my husband will take me. So I said, I'll be there. And so I woke Graham up and got the four-wheel drive going, and it was thick stuff. We took two goes to actually get out the driveway, and then we had, because Dunedin's hilly. It's like Wellington. It's just up and down the hills, and we're right at the top of, we're in Tunnel Beach, which is, doesn't sound, we're not on a beach, we're right on top of a beach. And it's quite a drive down the hill to get to the hospital. And it was a slow drive in, but we made it and I got there on time, which was good. Now, being a Friday night and having three teenagers, I know sometimes you can get really frazzled trying to get to a Friday night meeting. So I thought, you might have arrived a little bit frazzled and stressed, so I thought I'd give you a specially formulated diet designed to help you cope with the stress that builds up during the day. For breakfast, one grapefruit, one slice of whole wheat toast, and one cup of skimmed milk. Lunch, a small portion of lean steamed chicken with a cup of spinach. One cup of herbal tea and one chocolate biscuit. Afternoon tea, the rest of the biscuits in the packet. One tub of Rocky Road ice cream with chocolate ice topping and one jar of Nutella. Dinner, four bottles of red wine, two loaves of garlic bread, one family size Supreme pizza and three Snickers bar. And the late night snack, a whole frozen Sara Lee cheesecake eaten directly from the freezer. Sounds like my Friday nights. I'm going to share with you tonight part of my journey. But I just want to start. Often when we share testimonies, we can actually come from a place of, you know, poor me. And I want to come to you from a different place tonight. And I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is here. I'm going to have to put my glasses on, I'm afraid. I've tried to resist age for some time now, but it's just kind of creeping up on me. Jesus is here on the mountainside with his disciples, and he's teaching to them about kingdom life. Although there are multitudes before him, it seems that he's actually speaking to the disciples themselves. And when Jesus was speaking, he always spoke of the kingdom. If you look in Matthew 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So every time Jesus preached, it was actually about the kingdom. And we look at, if we look at the first and the last beatitude in those, in that group of verses, you'll find that the beginning and the end is about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 5 verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? It's a very real and present kingdom that we enter into when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of heaven. A really good way of explaining the kingdom of heaven, the Bible uses the two terms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, interchangeably. And a really good way of explaining it is to talk about a TV program that my son absolutely loves, and it's called Stargate. Who's seen Stargate? A few of you. It's a science fiction, and the Stargate comes up and they can move through the Stargate into another time or another place or another planet. Another description is, who's seen Kate and Leopold? It's a movie. Okay, it's a chick flick. You have to get it. It's a really good one. Meg Ryan is Kate, and the whole movie is about her falling in love with this guy who falls through a portal in time, and he's actually come from the past. And he went from being in 1857 to the present day, and he fell through this portal in time. And it's like he went from one world to another. And that's what happens when you give your life to Christ. You step from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of heaven. You actually step through the Stargate, as it were. One side is one world, one side's the other. The Beatitudes are where Jesus actually begins to explain the kingdom. He's explaining how to live a kingdom life, which is a blessed life. And he was saying that if these words are taken to heart and lived, they will guide you about how life is supposed to be lived. Now, I don't have time tonight to talk about all the Beatitudes, but I'm going to look about a very small part of them. I'm going to look at the first word, blessed. What does blessed mean? Blessed, happy to be, envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions. Jesus begins his kingdom life message with one word, blessed. The gospel of the kingdom is good news. Being blessed is very good news. This has to be at the very core of your belief system if you're in the kingdom of heaven. And if you're a follower of Christ and a citizen of heaven, then being blessed is what your life should be. A person who lives a kingdom life is, and always will be, blessed. What Jesus was actually saying is that if you do this, you will be blessed. The Beatitudes set the tone of your life. A kingdom life lived according to the tone that Jesus set means that you'll be blessed. The purpose of kingdom life is that you will be blessed. The will of God is that you are blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward condition. King David wrote in Psalm chapter 16, verse 6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Notice something about David. On first look, David didn't look like he had a very blessed life at all. He was hunted by Saul. He was hiding in caves. He had a moral fall. There was Absalom's treason. He had to leave the palace and his life was just filled with turmoil. How could he say that the lions had fallen for him in pleasant places? He had made a decision. The tone of his life was blessing. That's what he had decided. No matter what happened, he believed that it would eventually turn out for good. In Romans 8, verse 28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. I believe the fundamental belief of a follower of Christ is to have an attitude, a predisposition that the will of God is for me to be blessed and to stay blessed. Now, you can look at me today and say, yes, your life is blessed. And it is blessed. I am married to a hunk of a man. I have three great kids. He looks just like his mum. I have a great job. But what you see is not necessarily the whole picture. Let me tell you how I got here. I was married in 1985, and the marriage only lasted 16 months. Our marriage had great potential, but it also had a lot of challenges. It was extremely rocky, and it was extremely violent. My husband, Wayne, was like that too. He had great potential, but he had many struggles. And in his mind, the struggles became bigger than the possibilities. And on the 3rd of April, 1986, he gave up fighting. I came home from work, and I found Wayne in the car, and he had taken his life. He was wrapped in a blanket, and the note that he left on the top was saying what he was doing was best for both of us. He was a Christian. He loved God. I knew he did. There were just some struggles that he had. We were both Christians. And I believed, although our marriage had been rocky, had been violent, and I admit to that, but I knew that God was a healer and God could save this marriage and God could build us together. And my world just fell apart. I remember the day, you know, vividly the weeks and the months following. And they were filled with the fluctuating feelings of guilt, rejection, fear of the future, embarrassment, and extreme vulnerability. I had grown up in a Christian home. I knew that marriage was for life. I felt the call of God in my life. I had gone nursing because I thought that if God called me, at least I'd have a skill to take with me if it was as a missionary or however God used me, I would be able to work for him. And then when Wayne died, I felt that everything had been stripped away. Everything I'd hoped for, my dreams, my future, my identity, it died when Wayne died. I felt like it was the end of my life as I knew it. However, it's not the only thing I had to deal with. Wayne was from a large family, and in their grief, a number of the family were looking for someone to blame. Why would Wayne do such a thing? There must be a reason. It must have been the wife. She drove him to it. First the loss and then the reputation. A wife bad enough to drive her husband to suicide. And then there were some well-meaning Christian people. And they meant well. And then couple that with my sense of shame and my sense of guilt, I was the ultimate scarlet woman. I wrote in my journal a few days after his death, Lord, Wayne was a precious person and I know that you loved him. I loved him too, but I am not so blind that I couldn't see our marriage hitting the rocks. I hung in, waiting for a miracle that never came. I was hoping that you would take away the force that drove Wayne to take his life and at times took over his life so completely that he was the opposite of who he really was. I don't understand why you allowed these situations, but I trust you. If you wanted to, you could have healed Wayne's mind completely. I guess I've got to accept that you know what you're doing. I know that you love me and that you are and have been preparing me for something. Your plans for me are good and not for evil. It was hard to find hope, but there was one thing I kept hold of, and that was God. I think you find when things, crisis happens in your life, you actually find what your bones are made of. You know, God was the only one that understood me completely. My past, my present, and my future. He was the only one who was going to get me through my pain. I wrote in my journal, "Lord, I don't always understand your timetable or your ways, but I know that you have every one of our days numbered. I know that not one thing comes across our way without your knowledge. But God, my heart is breaking with grief. Set me free from this grief, this loneliness, this sorrow, and this guilt that I feel. Set me free from this bitterness, this self-pity, anger, and depression. Take away the hopelessness and despair. Lord, I release Wayne to you. Thank you for forgiving me if there were things that I left undone, and help me to forgive myself. And God, I must confess that at times I doubted your love. I have felt anger and unforgiveness toward you. Please forgive me. Walk with me through the times of fear, the death and loss, and wipe away all the panic and horror, the hopelessness and despair. Lord, only you can cleanse these deep wounds and heal my painful memories. Heal me, bind up my wounds, heal my broken heart, and help me pick up the broken pieces of my life. Lord, change my mourning into joy. Fill the aching void in my life with your love and heal me in spirit and body. Walk with me out of this valley of sorrow. Today, I still say the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. There are no conditions on God's promises of pleasant. God doesn't say we will be blessed as long as everything is going smoothly in our lives. Matthew 5 verse 4 says, "Blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by the experience of God's favour and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." For Jesus to say, "for those that mourn," he meant that life still goes on. People are hurt. People get sick, and yes, bad things happen. But he says, blessed are you when you set the tone of your life towards the kingdom of God. Simply, you will be blessed, no strings attached. What does it mean to carry a disposition of blessing, a presumption that everything will turn out for good? It means that you actually have something to pin your faith onto no matter what. The verse in the Bible, Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 19. "Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility." In other words, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I am blessed when I mourn. I am blessed when I am poor in spirit. I am blessed. I am blessed because I have set the tone of my life to the way of the kingdom. All I have given you tonight is a story, a testimony of a blessed life. I can remember praying, "God, I know that your hand is in this somewhere. I just can't see it." On the other side, and in hindsight, I can see that God was always there. nothing is wasted. I love verse 19 of Habakkuk 3. The Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. Here was a man who had faith in the midst of life's contradictions. And these are the words that he wrote: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Let's all stand. I'm just going to pray. And I just want you to know in your heart that kingdom living is about being blessed, whatever the circumstance. Father, every person in this room has their own story. Some are currently of great blessing, and others are of pain, challenge, and even confusion. However, everyone in this room has the same proclamation over their lives. You declare us all blessed. The lines fall for us in pleasant places. We step up by faith, and we claim this inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.